everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And we're really excited today. We're talking Spring Into Love, and we are previewing the Spring Into Love movies, plus also a bunch of other rom-coms that are coming out. This is like the age of the rom-com. It's so exciting.
It is super exciting.
Yeah. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and Marissa is here.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Yes, how have you
I'm
been?
Happy to be back. I'm good. Busy. Always busy, always working.
Did you have a good Christmas season?
I did. Yeah. I went home, visited family, read books, ate a lot of unhealthy food as one does, you know, just finishing off the craziness that was 2022.
Yeah.
So how about you?
It was good. I had a pretty relaxed Christmas holiday because I didn't end up traveling. Because the plane tickets were so expensive, for that time. So I just kind of waited, and then I traveled in February and then in March. So I definitely made up for that, but yeah, it was just kind of a relaxing, fun, holiday for me.
And good.
Yeah. Which I needed after watching all those Christmas movies.
I traveled during all that because when I was traveling, I had to move my plans up 2 days because I was going to the Midwest and I was entering what was the bomb cyclone, what they were calling it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because my flight was originally on a Friday, and they're like, no, we're going to be in the cyclone by Friday. So you need to get here even earlier. I'm like, all right. So I had to move everything. In 2 days, it was insanity, but I made it.
The weather has just been crazy lately here. I mean, Utah, we've had the most snow, I think, that we have had in like 100 years or something. Like, it's huge, and we need it desperately. We've been in a drought for a long time. So much that Great Salt Lake couldn't do our Great Salt Lake Open Water Swim this year because it's just so shallow. So hopefully all this snow will help that a little bit, at least.
Yeah.
It's been wild.
Yeah. California's been getting so much rain in the last 3 months, which is, you know, we were at an extreme drought level in October, and I think we're past that now. So I think the reservoirs are finally full.
Yeah. Yeah. I was there in February, and there was all kinds of flash floods, and
oh my goodness,
it was wild.
It's still happening, quite honestly. Yeah. This is like the first day it hasn't rained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here we are talking about movies.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we have Spring Into Love, and they have been like trying all these different names. They had Spring Fever, then Spring Fling, and now they have Spring Into Love. Which one do you like best?
Spring Into Love works. Spring Fling, sure. Spring Fling sounds like a dance. So, which is, you know, a definitive amount of time in like one night. I don't know. I think they could work with something a little bit more catchy. They might need to workshop the title a little bit more.
Yeah, I think I still like Spring Fever the best. Maybe that's just because it was my first one that I covered. I don't know. But Spring Into Love is fine.
But maybe there's a, you know, bad
connotation
with fever.
maybe.
So, maybe we don't want people to get sick.
We already covered in our March preview, we covered this first one that we're going to talk about, but they are including it in Spring Into Love, so we're talking about it again. But it'd be interesting to hear what you think. This is going to be coming out this weekend. And it's a picture of her. This comes out on the 25th. Hallmark Channel stars Rhiannon Fish and Tyler Hines, Donald Davenport, director and writer. And it's Beth becomes the subject of an award-winning magazine's cover and goes on a quest to find the photographer who snapped her photo. So overall, like, what do you think about that synopsis?
I mean, it's easy when you have like a, it sounds like there's kind of like a mystery story going on. Uh-huh. Like, oh, I gotta find someone or something, you know, so that always is a nice starting point. I have maybe it's just me being a professional videographer and photographer myself, every time I see photographers as, you know, a character, yeah. I'm like, they don't know how to take a real photo. That's not how you hold a camera. That's not the shutter speed you set it on, you know? So
yeah.
I get really, really snooty about that. And I'm like, they have the fancy equipment, but they don't know how to use it. And then yeah. it doesn't translate well on the camera because you can clearly tell that, like, they're not properly trained. So maybe that's just my nitpicky.
They love aspect, photographers. Like,
all right.
Yeah. They love.
I think it's like, it's an easy career to have a character that gives them a reason that they're able to travel.
Yeah, I think that they if they want to make the character like a creative type, then it's like, I think it's easier to kind of fake and fudge than like say being a painter or being a sculptor. And they have done those occasionally, those careers, but it's like just easier to just have some photographs rather than like paintings or a whole statue or something like that.
Yeah. Where they actually have to commission people to do the
artwork. Yeah. But in this case, it's the guy who's the photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Not the female character. And I kind of agree with you. I feel like from the synopsis, it almost feels more movies and mysteries, more of a drama than in a rom-com. Even from the previews and the clips and everything. And I do feel like when I first heard that it was Rhiannon and Tyler, I was like, because they just have like really different energies. And then that can work. That can actually like opposites attract, you know, like really work. And Tyler, I think, has a gift for finding chemistry with anybody that he's paired with. So I think it will probably be really good, but I wouldn't have naturally put them together as a pairing. I was thought, that's interesting. Cause she's so bubbly and he's like a little bit more cynical, a little more edgy. So the two of them, I don't know. I think it's kind of a strange combination, but that could make it really good.
Okay. I have to ask, are you personally a big Tyler Hines fan?
Yeah. I mean, I think that he has been pretty good in all of his movies. I don't like, there's some that are better than others, but I think his performance is usually always pretty good. And I do think he has a gift for like finding chemistry with his co-stars, but yeah, are you not a big fan?
No, sorry, I'm gonna be you can direct your hate mail to me. I am the dissenter in this. I personally don't like him. Him as a person, I'm sure is fine.
Right.
But like his roles, he's too smug, too arrogant, too cynical. That's not attractive for me personally. That's not attractive. That is such a turnoff. And I don't know why people find that sexy. It's not like that's just toxic energy to me. Mm-hmm. And I would not want that in my male counterpart in any relationship. Mm-hmm. So whenever I see his roles, I'm like, ugh, another one.
Yeah. So,
I'm not jumping at this one.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely has like a little bit of that kind of bad boy energy, which, you know, when I first interviewed him, this was before any of his movies aired. I thought this guy is not going to be a fit for Hallmark. He was very nice and I had no problem. Like I was grateful for the interview and it was great, but I don't know. I just was like, oh, this is very different than anybody that they've had before. But you know, obviously it really took off and I think that, for me, he's able to kind of balance that little bit of cynicism, a little bit of cockiness, with, I think he's very like thoughtful about in his roles, and his characters usually come off as kind of thoughtful, I think, and that he, even the way that he kisses in his movies is very like, you can tell that he's like thinking about it and what the other character needs, if that makes sense. There's like a thoughtfulness to his characters that I think makes his cynicism work for me.
Okay.
But I can understand that. I like I said, when I first interviewed him, I thought, oh, he's not going to be for everybody. So I can understand that. He's definitely, you know, it's like a phenomenon.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes me question a lot of girls who are into that toxic energy, but okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just not my type.
Yeah. And I think it's, for me, it's coupled with a sincerity and a tenderness that I think makes it work, but I can understand why it wouldn't work for everybody. But yeah, I did feel like this combination is a strange combination, but like I said, sometimes opposite attracts can be really good. So it could work. The story sounds a little bit boring, if I'm not going to lie. So, and you always have to be careful in Hallmark, this kind of story where you're like searching for the picture and everything is very Seinfeld delivery to me. And that's like the, in my opinion, the best thing that Hallmark's ever made. I really love Seinfeld delivered. And so I think you have to be careful when you're writing these kinds of stories of like looking into a photo or a letter or a, you know, kind of a thing, but we'll see. We'll do flowers. 1 out of 4 flowers.
Ooh, flowers.
I'm going to give this 2.5 flowers.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah, I'll give it 2 because it's Tyler. Okay. But hey, it might surprise me and I could totally eat crow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not really expecting much from this one.
As we said many times, these previews, they don't matter. We know nothing.
know nothing.
We've had many the ones that we didn't think looked that great, and then they ended up being amazing and vice versa. So it doesn't matter.
We'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast to celebrate our sponsor of this episode, and that is the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies Podcast?
Do you want an inside scoop into what happens on the podcast?
Do you want early access to episodes and loads of cool perks?
Now is the time to become a patron of Hallmarkies Podcast.
By becoming a patron, you get to access our patron Facebook group.
You can request episodes or even be a guest on the podcast.
And most importantly, any patron can join our monthly movie watch-alongs with stars like Paul Campbell, Natalie Hall, and more.
It's as low as $2 a month to join in and become a special part of the Hallmarkies family.
Please consider, and we will love you forever.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
Then on the first, we have Love in the Maldives, and this stars Jocelyn Houdin and Jake Manley, who I guess are a couple in real life. So that's fun.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And director Colin Thays, writer Juliana Wimbles, a travel writer goes to the Maldives and hears about a legendary shipwreck. With the help of her underwater resort's guest experience expert, she might discover love instead of a buried treasure. So what do you think about this one?
First of all, I'm for it because Maldives is my honeymoon vacation spot. It's like when I finally get married, I'm going to the Maldives, whether they like it or not. And my future husband has to, you know, be okay with that. And so I was like, Maldives, you got me. I don't even need to know the story. I mean, you have adventure, you have swimming, gorgeous water, romance. What's not to love? I'm for it. For it.
Yeah.
Stick anyone in the Maldives, it's gonna be a great film.
I love the ocean in general. So I'm a real sucker for beach and ocean settings. Mm-hmm. And the Maldives, I think that would be beautiful. And it sounds fun, I think, this legendary shipwreck and the exploring, and there's kind of like a mild adventure element to it. And I hope they all have good chemistry. We've seen it before that sometimes married couples actually don't have good chemistry, which is interesting because you'd think that they would, but I sometimes think that the comfort that they have with each other actually can translate weird on screen. It doesn't always, right. There's something about that awkwardness I think about that can actually, I think, lead to really good chemistry in these movies, but hopefully they will have good chemistry. And it sounds fun to me. I mean, it seems like a summer movie. That would be my only like nitpick. It doesn't feel like a spring movie at all. But I'd give this 3 flowers.
Okay. Yeah. I would say like 3.5, mostly because of the location. So,
yeah.
And, you know, whenever they travel to an actual on spot location, you know, the production just seems to be a little higher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Production value.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have high hopes for this one.
Yeah. Well, then.
Hopes.
Yeah, on the 8th we have The Professional Bridesmaid. This stars Hunter King and Chandler Massey, director Peter Benson. When a professional bridesmaid books a high profile wedding, she must keep her true identity a secret, not only from the wedding party but also from the handsome reporter covering the event. And this is crazy because I, in looking up information about this movie, I realized that professional bridesmaids is an actual thing, which is crazy to me. Yeah, there's like all kinds of websites for people that you can hire somebody to be your bridesmaid for your wedding.
All right, well,
yeah,
I'll think about that for the future, considering I only have like 2 friends. So
all right. I'll be there
maybe
for you.
I need to fill in the gap of like the other 4 people or something.
Maybe you can, I promise I will come be your bridesmaid. Yeah, there's all kinds of articles inside the life of a professional bridesmaid. There's like on Today Show and New York Post, Daily Mail. It's crazy.
That's amazing. Like, I wonder how much money that makes.
like why would you? I just can't imagine why you would want somebody who doesn't know you to be at your wedding. Like, I don't know, it's just so weird to me. But I guess it is. A bridesmaid for hire posts on Craigslist earns $20,000 a month.
What a month? What am I doing at work? I just switch professions. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
That's mind blowing.
Yeah. Brooklyn based woman, that she has already been in more than 125 weddings this year. Says Glantz and her team do all the things any bridesmaid would do, walking down the aisle, giving toasts, helping get people on the dance floor, and running last minute errands. She charges $2,500 for her services, making more than $300,000 a year.
Wow.
Wild.
I'm really.
I mean, if somebody wants to hire me to be their bridesmaid, I will do it for way cheaper.
Right. You got to set your standards high.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I would be
I'm just like mind blown right now.
Yeah.
Huh. It's thinking about all my life choices.
Yeah. So this movie, I mean, this was just screaming to make a Hallmark movie with this professional bridesmaid thing. And Hunter King, charming, Chandler Massey, who just got engaged this week. So congrats to Chandler. But they seem like they'll be great. They're both soap veterans, both of them. And I like both of them a lot. And so I think the chemistry will be really good. Peter Benson's now like practically a veteran at this point. He's done directing so many movies. He's had a pretty good track record, I would say. And so, yeah, I'm pretty high on this. I think it will be fun. So yeah, I'm going to give this 3.5. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, when I first read the premise, it kind of reminded me of that 27 Dresses movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Katherine Heigl. I mean, she's not a professional bridesmaid, but at this point she might as well be.
Yeah. She was missing out on charging.
I know. Goodness. Services. I mean, she needs to up her rates a little bit. But it for some reason, I think that's like really my only reference to be like a bridesmaid over and over and over again. So maybe if it's anything charming like that movie, then I have high hopes for it. So yeah, I'll say like 3.52.
Well, and that's the only movie where James Marsden gets the girl.
I know. Poor James.
Yeah.
He's so charming in and of himself. And like he always gets
the Notebook,
the short end of the
X-Men movies.
I know.
He never gets the girl. I mean,
it's so funny. I not to get like too digressive here. It's just like I was rewatching episodes of Ally McBeal with when James Marsden was on it. I was like, oh, he was so charming in that too. And he doesn't get the girl either.
Yeah.
Like,
gosh, I mean, in Enchanted, he got a girl, but it wasn't the girl, the lead girl.
I mean, when you get Idina Menzel, I think that's a win.
Yeah.
It might not be who you started off with, but that's still a win.
Yeah. So the next one is called The Wedding Cottage, and this is on the 15th. And we are going to, because they're bringing back for June, it's not June Brides, but for Summer Nights in June, it's all going to be Bridepalooza, like all wedding movies in June. So we're getting lots of wedding movies this year. And we had Wedding Veil movies too.
Oh, right. Oh my gosh. So many.
Yeah. So many. Wedding movies. But this is like, the Wedding Cottage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on the 15th, Aaron Krakow and Brendan Penny, director Terry Ingram, a wedding guide creator must convince an uninspired artist and owner of a special wedding cottage to renovate the rundown cottage to host a contest winning couple for their dream wedding. Yeah, so it's like it sounds like it's going to be more about renovating this cottage more than actual like a wedding movie.
Yeah,
you know,
more than the actual couple.
Yeah, and the only thing I was a little bit disappointing is because Brendan Penny in his Christmas movie, we joked that they put him through the nerdifier machine because he had glasses and he was kind of this nerdy teacher, and it was so good. Mm-hmm. And no glasses in this one. So that's disappointing.
What was your stance on it? Glasses sexy or not?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Hot nerd. For sure. I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. And it really worked for him and for his character for that movie in Merry Measure, which was really good last year. This one, he's not going to be the nerd because he can sometimes for me be a little bit smug. I kind of feel a little bit the same that you feel about Tyler, about him, or Brendan Penny. But that doesn't mean that I don't like some of his films and that he can't be good. And so hopefully I actually feel like in the behind the scenes and stuff, the clips, it feels like that Aaron and him will have pretty good chemistry. Seems like, certainly seems like they're having a blast making the movie. So, you know, that's good.
But, I saw a lot of those photos too. Yeah. I mean, it looks fun. It's a nice marriage, so to speak, pun intended, of Chesapeake Shores and when Calls to the Heart. Like, we finally kind of get that, you know, crashing of two worlds that we've always kind of wanted a little bit. So it's nice to see both of those two, like the worlds colliding in a good way. I'm looking forward to it because obviously we like love Aaron, love Brendan in, you know, Chesapeake Shores. So I think it's an interesting pairing. Like, I'm curious to see how it actually plays out.
Yeah. So I'll give this one a 3 in my preview.
Yeah, I'll say 3.5 only because we know the star power that each of them have already. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be good.
Yeah. All right. So then we have A Pinch of Portugal. This stars Heather Hemmings and Luke Mitchell. And it's when a celebrity chef walks off his show, prep cook Anna must step into the spotlight and make the show her own with the help of her Aussie cameraman and Portuguese location scout. So, I mean, I wonder how much of Portugal will actually get to see in this movie, because it sounds like it's going to be a lot in this studio and this shooting the show. But Heather Hemmings, I love her. She's great. So on that alone, I'm definitely going to be, you know, looking forward to it. Sometimes these location movies can be a little bit underwhelming because they like lean too much on the location and not enough on the story, and it can not be that great. But hopefully with this talent that it'll be good. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, when I first saw the trailer, I was like, okay, cooking. It's a cooking movie. as y'all know, I'm not a cook. You won't find me dead in the kitchen. So I was like, all right. Hopefully that we'll get maybe some of the Portugal culture aspect when it comes to the cooking. When it came to the story, just reading that the star walks off of the show and then, like, some no face has to pick it up. I was like, oh, real shows don't work like that, because yeah. EPs wouldn't let the camera still roll and let someone random right. take over. So I was like, but I'm more interested in the meta. Well, and there's like contracts and
stuff, so you can't just like leave.
I'm more interested in the meta-ness of just the filmmaking production aspect. I was like, I just want to see the drama behind the scenes of how that actually goes down. So
I like that they're letting him keep his Aussie accent, this Aussie cameraman. Because, I mean, they wouldn't need to, because if it's in Portugal, I don't know. I kind of like that. That's nice. And it should be pretty dreamy. What kind of Australian accent?
I mean, I like it.
Yeah. So what would you give it?
I would say for the different aspects of this film, story, location, cooking, I guess. Individually, I think there's a lot of potential, so I'm going to say 3.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, last one for Spring Into Love is Hearts in the Game. And this is on the 29th of April and stars Aaron Cahill, Marco Grazzini. And it's a New York City publicist helps a Major League Baseball pitcher find his way back to the game and to her heart. We don't have a trailer or really know a whole lot about this, but I do feel like that's a pretty good pairing, Aaron Cahill and Marco Grazzini. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I really like Aaron Cahill. I think she has, like you said about Tyler, that I think she is another actress who can find chemistry with a lot of her coworkers, whether they be other females or males, you know, because we've seen her in films with other females too, lots of females, and she just has like a very likable, charming personality that she can get along with everybody. So I'm excited just to see.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of Just Right. Have you ever seen that movie, Just Right, with Queen Latifah and Common?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Where basketball. She's like, she's helping, the basketball player get back into things, and kind of it could be a similar vibe.
Right. I did enjoy Just Right. I remember, because I am an NBA fan. I could talk your ear off with NBA. You might not think it, but like my profile literally says NBA enthusiast. That's a whole other story. But watching Just Right, I was like, the commentators don't speak like that. Come on, do you really watch NBA? Because I do. I did love that film.
They had to work so hard to make Common look like he was as tall as the way that they had to structure everything. Really, yeah, that he wouldn't look like a tiny person, but they did a good job.
Right. And like knee problems, like an actual knee injury, you're out for the rest of the season. You do not bounce back in 3 months. Sorry, that's not realistic either, but I do love it.
But
it
works, and I think it's honestly underrated.
It's a great film.
Like, yeah, it's really good. So yeah, for this one, I think I will also give this a 3, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. So I look forward when we have a trailer and everything. Review.
Yeah. I would say a solid 3.5. I like Aaron Cahill. I've worked with publicists. I know what the hard work it takes to make someone else look and sound good, the whole, Hollywood aspect of publicity. I'm just excited for that. It sounds like a really good story.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Going over to movies and mysteries, and we actually have a movie on Easter Sunday called The Blessing Bracelet. And this stars Amanda Shewell and Carlo Marx. And it's, as the Easter holiday approaches, a woman rediscovers a blessing bracelet that helps restore her faith and renew her belief in love. And this is a Day Spring movie. And last Christmas, they had a Day Spring movie with Nikki DeLoach and Brennan Elliott that was actually pretty good. They were very, they weren't preachy as far as the religion. I was just telling the story of these grieving people and how they were dealing with it, and it was well done. Gift of Peace, I think is what it was called.
I really liked that one.
So that makes me kind of more excited for continuing Day Spring movies, because they started it out so strong, and I kind of loved the fact that they did it, because you have these people that have left Hallmark that are claiming to be the more spiritual, the more, you know, whatever. And so I kind of loved the fact that they were like, nope, we can make a faith-based film too and make it better than all of yours. So that was good. It was definitely, in my opinion, way better than Candace's movie.
I didn't even bother watching.
Yeah, Candace's it was not movie. Good. So I think they did make it much better than the other network. But yeah, that is my opinion. But it made me excited for this Dayspring movie because, again, you start off on such a good note. Then I'll look forward to this. I have to admit that Amanda Shule is one of those people that I feel like I should love her movies. She seems like such a good fit. Maggie Lawson is another one. Seems like such a good fit for Hallmark, but just the movies just aren't doing it for me. I have not enjoyed really any of Amanda Shule's Hallmark movies. So that makes me a little resistant. I don't know. It's just not on my wavelength, I guess.
Is it the story or is it the performance?
Mostly the story. But yeah, I don't know. She just, I guess we're on a different wavelength as far as the projects she picks or whatever. I don't know. So that makes me a little nervous, but I do love Karl Marx. He's great. And it sounds sweet enough to me. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I grew up Catholic, so I definitely know the religious aspect of it. So it just kind of, when I saw the bracelet at first, and maybe this is just my terrible ADD mind, that I was like, is that a fidget toy?
Oh, and then yeah.
Oh, no, wait, there's a religious aspect to this bracelet. Sorry. So I was like,
could be both.
I mean, it totally, I would turn it into a fidget toy, not going to lie.
Yeah.
But I like it because, you know, I grew up with actual prayer bracelets, rosaries, you know, so yeah. I do know having that religious item that keeps you grounded and within your faith. So I think that's a really good foundation to start with the story. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had in our faith, we had what are called CTR rings, and it's choose the right is what it stands for. So when you get to be a certain age, you get a CTR ring. That's kind of our jewelry, I guess. Yeah.
When I was in high school, my particular high school, I had it was an actual abbey, so a lot of my teachers were actual monks, like literally brothers and priests and pastors. It was crazy. And one of my teachers, he used to make these prayer bracelets, but it was made from like a specific seed of some type of flower that's really only prevalent in Illinois. And he has made thousands, hundreds of thousands. And we would always get one and you would wear it until it wore out and fell off. Or if someone asks about it, the rule is you're supposed to give it to that person. It's a religious prayer.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Bracelet thing, so,
yeah. Well, this is definitely, there's no question in my mind, this is going to be better than the Easter movie they made a couple of years ago. Oh, that was so bad. It was like an undercover boss, like chocolate Easter egg factory thing. And it was terrible. So this is definitely gonna be better than that. But I don't know. I'm going to give it 2.5.
Yeah, I'd say 2.5, 3. More leaning towards 3, because I think there's a potentially good story there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And next we have Spring Breakthrough, and this is our Mahogany movie for April. And this is on the 30th, Movies and Mysteries, Keisha Sharp, Demetrius Gross, and it's a single mother, surprised by her daughter's recent engagement, travels to the Gulf Shores where she finds love unexpectedly. So this sounds kind of like a Stella Gutter group back kind of a story a little bit.
Yeah, I quite honestly, I never saw that movie. Oh, yeah. And I've definitely heard about
it's
it.
It's pretty steamy. Yeah, so
I know. I think that's probably why. I think my mom was like, nah, she's not gonna watch that one. And I just grew past that age where I wanted to watch it. I think I was doing more research on it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the one directed by like the same guy who was also in Forrest Gump?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the story takes place in Alabama, and my mind was just like, you should go home to Greenbow, Alabama. I don't know. That's how my mind works. But I'm like, I'm excited. It looks good. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, most of the Mahogany movies have been really good. This last one wasn't as good, but it wasn't terrible. So they've had a pretty good streak of Mahogany movies. This sounds like it will be a fun story, and you know, I love the ocean, so can go into the Gulf Shores. That'll be fun. I'm gonna give this a 3.
Okay. Do we have any stories? Has there been any recent stories that take place in Alabama?
I think of several in Louisiana.
Right.
I can think of some in Georgia. I don't know if I can think of Alabama.
Well, no, yeah, I'm excited. It's so funny because I was like, all right, Alabama, never been there personally. My boss is actually from Alabama. But I was like, it's just like a state that you don't really think about a lot. Yeah. or it's not really highlighted a lot in Hallmark. Yeah.
Maybe they don't give the tax write-offs that Georgia and Louisiana do. Because that's why the reason why a lot of movies are filmed there.
I mean, Atlanta's like tax break. The next Hollywood.
Yeah.
When it comes to America.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah. The Mahogany movies, like, you gotta give it to them. They're for the most part, they're pretty solid. So I'm looking forward to it.
So what would you give it?
So I would say 3.
3. Okay. All right.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. A brighter future awaits if she can escape the shadows of the past. In After the Shadows by Amanda Cabot, the first book in the Secrets of Sweetwater Crossing series, a young widow returns to her hometown in Texas Hill Country, never dreaming that the new school teacher holds the key both to the mystery surrounding her father's death and to her heart. Library Journal says her sensitivity and realistic portrayal of characters often on the margins of history really shine in this new historical series. Check out After the Shadows today at bakerbookhouse.com and get 30% off and free U.S. shipping. That's 30% off and free U.S. shipping at bakerbookhouse.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the description.
So that's all the Hallmark movies. Now we're going to move on to the other networks and films, rom-coms. We have on Disney Channel, this is on the 30th, we have Prom Pact, and this stars Peyton Elizabeth Lee and Blake Draper, director Anya Adams and writer Anthony Lombardo. And it follows the main character, a feminist who doesn't believe in the idea of falling in love, especially in a heteronormative love. But then she falls and there's undeniable chemistry. That's what it says. And so they make this kind of like prom pact that they will go to each other because they don't believe in prom or something like that. I don't know. You saw the trailer. What'd you think?
I did see the trailer. I mean, it looks cute. It definitely looks like a teen movie where she finds out that she's been in love with her best friend all along. those typical tropes when it comes to teen movies, but it had a lot of references to the older 80s movies that we love, you know, Breakfast Club, Risky Business. Yeah. So they're definitely like taking it back to those rom-coms, which, you know, we love. It looks cute. I'm for it.
Do you like
more progressive, I
guess. Do you like DCOMs in general? Are you a fan?
I liked DCOMs when I was a teenager, preteen. I stopped watching probably around 2005. So I kind of grew past that generation. But when I am a your typical millennial of DCOM. So yeah, Toothless and all that were my favorite. Toothless, Horse, Xenon, Horse Sense. You know, like that was my generation. But this looks like a typical teen movie. I'm for it. It looks cute. There's old references in it. And I don't know. I personally never went to prom. So every time I watch a prom movie, I kind of watch it more so to, I was like, is this what everybody's prom is like? I don't know. We'll see. It's like, yeah, I watched it for the lack of what I had in my life.
It also has Milo Manheim in it, who was in like zombies movies. And this is a better summary than the one I read. It says, it is the height of prom season, but high school senior Mandy Yang has her sights set on a singular goal, attending Harvard. When she finds out she has been deferred, she is determined to do whatever she can to get herself on the wait list, even if that means asking the one person who represents everything she abhors, all-star jock Graham Lansing, whose father is a powerful senator and Harvard alum. So there we go. And Blake Draper plays Graham. Yeah, Graham Lansing. And I do like the DCOMs. I think that they're kind of overhated. It's so weird to me. There's all these people on YouTube and stuff like that do just hate pieces on DCOMs. And I'm like, they're not made for you. They're made for you know, teenagers to just have fun. And I enjoy most of the Kenny Ortega kind of style ones, like the High School Musical, Descendants, Zombies, I think are fun. I enjoy them.
I went back to DCOMs because of Kenny Ortega. Like, I stopped watching Disney around 2003 when High School Musical blew up. I went back to watch it and and then I watched The Descendants, and I actually threw a Descendants viewing party when first Descendants came out. Yeah, no, I went all out. And I am such an introvert. I do not throw parties. So for me to throw a viewing party for the first Descendants is a big deal.
Did you see the images of the new Descendants movie with Brandy and Pablo?
No.
I'll send you the link. Yeah, because they're obviously they were in that, you know, that 90s Cinderella movie together. Yeah. And now they're coming back into this new Descendants movie. And so I'm hyped.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sure. So I would give this movie, I preview it, I'd give it a 3. I think it looked fun.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a solid 3.5, because if they're going to have references to, you know, Breakfast Club and Risky Business, I mean, they're going to tug at our nostalgia heartstrings. Yeah. So it has a lot of potential. I'm going to give it higher, 3.5.
Yeah, and it will be on Disney Plus, I think, on the 5th, I think is what I said. So it's on Disney Channel on the 30th, and then we'll be on Disney Plus. Okay, so then we have Rye Lane. This is on the 31st, coming to Hulu. David Johnson and Vivian Opara, director Rain Allen Miller, and Nathan Byron, Tom Melia writers. It's two youngsters reeling from bad breakups who connect over an eventful day in South London. So this premiered at Sundance, and I didn't get to see it, but I just actually got a screener. And so I have seen this, and I think youngsters is a little strong. I mean, they're adults.
Millennials.
These two people, they have a meet cute, and they end up basically spending the whole day together, and they've both been through breakups. And I think that they are super charming, and I definitely would recommend it. And it has a lot of like fun cameos, and the dialogue can be good between the two of them. Some of the humor just is not for me. It's a little vulgar. I don't know. Like, I didn't think it was that funny, some of these things that end up happening to them. But I still would definitely recommend it. It was because of their chemistry and this couple, I really enjoyed. What did you saw a trailer? What'd you think?
It looked cute. I have to ask you, cause you have seen it now. Is the entire film has that look of the fish eye distorted lens?
Yeah. Most of it, yeah, it definitely has a very like indie, very you know.
That hurts, honestly. Yeah. I couldn't. I had a hard time just watching the trailer. Harsh. Like, yeah. I get in like a high saturation. Why would you do that to your film? I had a hard time watching The Favorite because of the Fish Islands look. Yeah. And it's just like, we do not see the world like that. I get it's a creative choice. It's like, it's a specific look for your film, but come on. You're like, if you're going to just distract your viewers with a look, you got to have a good story, good performance, and actors. If you're visually going to mess up your movie like that. So
yeah, I think they're trying to make it like visually unique, you know, for something like Sundance, you know, to, because people just dismiss, you know, rom-coms. So you got to like make it kind of edgy in some way. And I think that was what they were probably trying to do. But yeah, the lighting is very harsh throughout the movie. But I did really like the two leads. They were very charming together. And by the end, you're really happy that they get together. So I think it does work. I mean, everybody on like Letterboxd and reviews and stuff is, everybody was just like in love with this movie. So I'm definitely not, I'm not with them. I'm not that high on it, but I would recommend it. I'd go fresh on it because of the leads, because it had enough charming kind of in it. Yeah. But I agree. The look is kind of exhausting.
Yeah. And like, and that's maybe again, as a filmmaker myself, that is just visually jaunting. And that is enough to take me as a viewer out of the film. Yeah. And as a filmmaker, you don't want that. You want to keep your audience engaged. So I don't know. The story's got to be there. It looked cute. They looked like they have chemistry, but and the whole breakups, yes, we've all been there.
yeah.
So, but it's like you can't restore romance in a day. So hopefully their charm in the romance together is enough for them to restore their faith in humanity and romance. So I don't know.
Yeah. 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, 63 critics. Yeah. 60, only one. Only have one rotten. But all right. Anyway, yeah. All right. So I think people should give it a shot. Something new, something different. Try something, something new and different.
Okay.
Okay, so then we have on the 12th, we have Beautiful Disaster. This is in theaters. It stars Dylan Sprouse and Virginia Gardner, director Roger Cumble, writer Roger Cumble, Jamie McGuire. College freshman Abby tries to distance herself from her dark past while resisting her attraction to bad boy Travis.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarky in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies merch store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anna Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
What did you think of this?
All right, first of all, I'm not sold on the title, but I was sold on everything else. There were Rocky references. I mean, I have a Rocky poster right there. I am a martial artist myself, so the whole fighting, sparring, got it. There was comedy, humor, dialogue for it. If this movie finally makes Dylan Sprouse hotter than his brother Cole, I'm for it. There's sex, I'm for it. I mean, like, this looks like an awesome film. I am definitely watching this one.
Yeah, he definitely looked very handsome. I mean, he's like a youngin', so like
cool. I mean, I'm not sold on the tattoos, but damn, yeah, I saw him. I'm like, all right, Dylan.
And it pretty much,
I'm looking at you.
It pretty much looked like Virginia's role is to be like mouth agape, like, what is this person? Like,
I mean,
she's just like standing there in almost every scene in the trailer, like, what? Whoa.
I don't blame her
either. I think this movie will be very stupid, but I think it will be entertaining.
For sure. But I am so for this ride.
Yeah. So I would give this a 2.5.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm going to give it higher. 3.5.
Okay. All right. So, and it's by the same people who did the After movie. So people, I've never seen any of those, but if people are a fan, then they might be like,
they're steamy.
Yeah. They're pretty steamy.
Yeah. So if anything is like that, yeah, I'm for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then we have Ghosted. This is on Apple on the 21st and stars Chris Evans and Ana de Armas. And director Dexter Fletcher. Cole falls head over heels for enigmatic Sadie, but then makes the shocking discovery that she's a secret agent. Before they can decide on a second date, and Cole and Sadie are swept away on an international adventure to save the world. So what do you think about this?
I mean, I love it. They had me at the 500 mile song that first started playing at that first beat in the trailer. Like, yes, great, let's go. She's a CIA agent and she knows how to fight martial arts. Again, I'm a martial artist. I'm for it. And it's nice with the whole role reversal, because we've had like a decade plus of Chris Evans being a Marvel superhero. Mm-hmm. And now that he's like the genuine regular guy, like, I don't know what's happening. Like, that's always fun to watch. So they seem like they have fun chemistry.
Yeah.
So it looks awesome.
It kind of reminds me of Night and Day. Have you ever seen that with Tom Cruise? I think that is way underrated. Diaz. Yeah.
So underrated. It's such a fun movie. Telling people to watch I made so many people watch that film. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward. I think I haven't given a 4 all show yet. I think I will give this a 4. What is not to look forward to it? Like, same. I mean, great stars. You know, at least they're going to be, everybody's going to be beautiful to watch.
Yes.
And the story sounds super fun.
Yeah. I mean, you give it a 4, I'll give it a 4.5. I have high expectations for this one. This looked fun the entire way through, because even watching the trailer, they had me in the first minute, and then when we switch and she's like, she's a CIA agent, like, it even like upped it for me, and I'm like, all right, what could go wrong with this film?
It has
everything for me.
Yeah,
I'm for it.
All right, so then we have A Tourist Guide to Love, and that we don't have a trailer for this, which I think is strange, but it's the 27th of April. Rachel Lee Cook, Scott Lai, and Ben Feldman, director Stephen K. Tushita, and writer Irene Donahue, who we've actually had on our show. She's a really good writer. And it's an executive goes through an unexpected breakup, then accepting an assignment to go undercover and learn about the tourist industry in Vietnam. That description doesn't sound all that romantic, but it's A Tourist Guide to Love. I like Rachel Lee Cook. I mean, she doesn't have that many misses. So just on her and the writer alone, I would give it, I'm going to give it a 3, but it's hard to know without like the trailer. What do you think?
Right. I put in my notes, I was like, I can't tell just based on photos. You had Rachel, she's great. Vietnam, I've never been there. I don't know what the country looks like. So is it romantic? I don't know. I can't tell if that's, I don't really hear people saying, oh, I'm going to Vietnam for the location, you know? So like, I was like, does that place give off romantic vibes? I honestly don't know, because I've never been there. So I was like, out of all the places in the world, all right, we're going to Vietnam.
It's just the way that the summary is, it makes it sound more like a mystery almost or something, like not, because they don't mention romance anywhere in the summary, but I would think a movie called A Tourist Guide to Love would be a romance. So
I guess
we'll see.
I don't know.
Irene Donahue,
it's hard to tell.
She has a really good track record. She did a movie called A Sugar and Spice Holiday for Lifetime, which was really good. Very funny. And then last year she had 2 movies that were both good for Lifetime. One, The 12 Days of Christmas Eve with Kelsey Grammer, that was actually very clever and funny and enjoyable. And then A Christmas Spark, which was the movie with Joe Lando and Jane Seymour. It was the Dr. Quinn reunion. That was also really cute and well done. So she has my confidence. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 3. Well, what about you?
Yeah, I can't tell based on the photos.
Yeah.
I'd say like 2.5 to 3.
Yeah. It is weird that they wouldn't have a, we're almost at a month to it, that they would not have a trailer for this.
Yeah.
This is strange. So that's a little, all right. Last one is called One True Loves, and this is on the 7th. This is in theaters, and it's Philippa Sue, Simu Lee, and Luke Bracey. Director Andy Fickman and writers Taylor Jenkins Reid and Alex Reid. And a woman is unexpectedly forced to choose between the husband she has long thought dead and the fiance who has finally brought her back to life. Mm. So this movie,
love it does, triangle.
It looks very soapy, very like a soap opera plot that you would see of the husband coming back from the dead, basically, when she's engaged to this other person. That doesn't mean that it's bad. I mean, I like some soapy, dishy, you know, plot sometimes. And I really like this cast, all three of them. I mean, Luke Bracey is one of the most handsome people I've ever seen in my life.
Dreamboat. Yeah, I agree. I was like, all three of them for it. I mean, we do love the dramatic love triangle, but also the second chance loves. You gotta have that aspect in there too.
Yeah.
And I mean, you gotta, like, Taylor Jenkins Reid, she's on a whirlwind right now. She's definitely in the zeitgeist because the Seven Wives of Evelyn Hughes and Daisy Jones and the Six is on Amazon right now. Are you watching it? It's great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I read the book.
So like, she's definitely in the zeitgeist right now. If it's anything story-wise, her stories are fantastic. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah. So what do you give it?
I saw 3.5.
Yeah, same. I'd give it 3. So there we go. That's the preview. Lots of fun stuff coming up in April. So let us know what you would give, how many flowers you would give these various films. And if there's other stuff that maybe we didn't cover because there's just so much right now, let us know in the comments. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And thanks so much for doing this with me, Marissa. And where can people follow you on socials and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun talking movies with you, Rachel. Thank you for asking me every single time. Everyone can follow me at Serafini TV. Direct all your hate comments about me disliking Tyler Hines right to me. I'm not going to read them. But yeah, that's where you can follow me.
Yeah, different opinions, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
You can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. Also, make sure that you're following the podcast to Hallmarkies Pod, Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. That really helps us a lot. And if you are listening on and watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We also have our patron group, which evidently a lot of people don't know about, but it's, I think, one of the biggest bang for your bucks of any other Patreon group I've seen. You get monthly patron watch-alongs where you get to interact with the stars. You have chances to be on the podcast for different tiers, weekly exclusive reviews, lots of other fun stuff. So please take a look at the Patreon. It really helps us a lot. And it's just a couple dollars a month to join. And then we have the merch store where you can get lots of fun Hallmark-inspired designs. So please take a look at that. And thanks again, and happy spring, everybody. Bye.